Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. So much of life rises and falls on leadership. The health of the leader can impact the health of an organization, a church, a business, a family. Did you know that leaders who give so much to others also need to be cared for? Today, we have a specialist in the area of leadership, someone who can also speak in depth about the health of leaders. As usual, we like to pause at the beginning of our show just to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we speak about leadership. At times we speak about subjects of different kinds, but the heart of it all is through the diversities of our lives and through the intricate details of the things that we go through on a daily basis, that Christ is interested and desirous of you knowing that He cares for you, that He loves you, whatever situation or circumstance you might be facing, that Christ is here for you. And He can take a situation that seems really helpless and even hopeless. I don't know about you, but sometimes I go through that too. But He can turn a situation. He's a God of redemption. Turned it into something that you and I could have never imagined, a point of hope and future, if we would just trust Him. Craig Chong was born and raised in Hawaii. He is the president of Fresh Leadership, LLC, a strategic consultancy based in the Pacific Rim. The focus of Fresh Leadership, LLC, this growing practice, is providing executive coaching, leadership consulting, and strategic planning for leaders. Craig is also the president of the Drucker Society of Hawaii. That's a nonprofit organization at the forefront of a global movement to stimulate effective management and ethical leadership. Since 2003, Craig Chong has been trained and mentored by Tom Patterson, a master strategic process facilitator for over 4,000 companies, many of which were Fortune 500 companies. Prior to assuming his role with Leader Breakthrough, Craig was a full-time graduate student at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, where he was mentored by the guru of lifelong leadership development concepts, Dr. J. Robert Clinton. Craig really has cultivated his love for leadership development, and he's going to share that with us. You'd also be interested in finding that he was part of the core church planting team with New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu, from 1995 to 1999. During those years, he oversaw the Levites ministry as well as the First Impressions ministries that carried on the bulk of the weekend service logistics and the operations that grew exponentially from zero to 6,000, get this now, 6,000 in attendance in over 4 years. Of course, that was a foundation of what has really been an explosion of growth throughout these islands and beyond. Craig currently resides in Hawaii. He's married to his amazing wife, Sandy. She's an independent financial consultant, and they are the proud parents of their beautiful daughters, Sophie and Sarah Ann. They are members of Blue Water Fellowship, and Craig is here to share with us what he knows best, leadership. Craig, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
You know, you've been around. You've done a lot. You've been trained by the best. I mentioned in your introduction that you're born in Hawaii, raised in Hawaii. But give us some more details. You know, where did you grow up?
So for me, born and raised, Nuuanu Valley. Went through public school, had a short stint at HBA, and then went on to Kwananakoa and Roosevelt, and then finished up at UH Hilo on the Big Island.
In your growing up years, you know, you said it in less than 15 seconds just now. I know there's a lot more that goes on in life. Tell us, who, when you were growing up, who would you say influenced you most in those very tender years?
Good question. I think the primary influences in our home was my dad, of course, and my mom. So I'm grateful for the foundation that they put in us. Even though I don't think I was ready for understanding what it meant to be a Christian, they put me in a Christian school, they took us to church, and laid that foundation. We were in a very non-charismatic kind of mainline church, so it was sort of, you're a Christian growing up in that environment. So it wasn't until they sent me to HBA that I really understood that there was a line that you kind of had to step across. And I made that first decision, I think, when I was 13. So I'm ever grateful for HBA's ministry here in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, when I went away to Roosevelt, I realized, wow, what a Christian bubble was. You know, what kind of campus that would look like. I mean, how the campus felt, especially with lack of conflict on the HBA campus versus a lot of conflict in a public school, and just the variety of people. And it actually made me more hungry for who God was and what that relationship was. So when I went away to Hilo, I actually got back involved with the Baptist Student Union.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my good friends, Marianne Beckett, we were in a Bible study. She was leading us through a Bible study, and she asked us, you know, if you were to die tonight, where do you think you'd be? And I looked at my friend next to me, and we said, we're going to hell, you know? And so she actually backed us back and started talking to us about what does it mean to make a decision for Christ? What does that look like? And so over the year, I discovered that. And through that, while that was happening, I actually met Wayne Cordero. He came into our classroom as an example of a professional speaker in our Speech 151 class. And I can remember thinking, why am I here listening to some, you know, some sorry pastor? Because that's all I ever experienced growing up that would put you to sleep. And he talked about living a life beyond the grave. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And that's the beginning of my relationship with Wayne Cordero. So that's a little bit of my spiritual journey, you know. And through that, progressed into a calling of ministry and serving people, and worked at the church. And now our work now is really an expression of that ministry in the marketplace, where we get to work with both Christian leaders as well as non-Christian leaders or non-church leaders, and actually share the truth, share the light, and bring hope. One of the most amazing things is when I get to a place where my clients actually trust me at an implicit level, and they'll tell me all kinds of things, and I'll speak words of forgiveness or ask them, may I pray for you? And with their permission, God starts to do miracles. And through them personally and through their organizations as a team. So it's a wonderful ministry that God's given to me, that like yourself, I get to be the light in the darkness and take God's love to people that need it, because there's people everywhere that need hope, and they need purpose for their life. So when I'm with them, it's helping them focus back on, you know, who's God created you to be, and now what are you going to do with that? And how do you live that out? What's the contribution that you leave behind? How do you finish well for those leaders that doing great, but what does it look like at the very end of your life? Are you going to look, smell, taste more like Jesus at the very end when you die on your last breath? Or are you going to just peter off? You know, so wide range of leaders I get to work with, and it's an honor.
What are some things that you find that when it comes to leaders, and we're talking about leadership health today, and by the way, your business and your role in the business community, is it exclusive to Christian business leaders, or are you open to business leaders of you know, different backgrounds?
Oh, it spans the gamut. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I see myself as a career missionary.
Okay.
And we just get our funding in a different form. And so when we're actually working with Christian leaders, it's an awesome opportunity because we can really help them listen mm-hmm. to what Jesus or the Holy Spirit is directing them. So you get into a lot of wonderful spiritual guidance and discipleship. When I'm working with non-Christian leaders, it's always helping them to have hope and then pointing them more towards the person that I get my most hope from. And hopefully they see that and they experience that. It's not necessarily an overt ministry, but you know, we get into all kinds of government, education sectors, and the business sector.
Well, you know, the economy drives so much. I mean, someone could argue and say, well, the economy drives virtually everything in society. It affects politics. It affects education. You know, some people might say, well, that's the real fulcrum or the real driving force of what goes on. And so very naturally, it will relate with the integral parts of business
mm-hmm.
and business movements, business interaction, different industries. But then you see, even when I'm describing it, it's just, I'm talking about words and meanings. You, Craig, you deal with the leaders, the human beings who have the leadership responsibilities on top of those business organizations, or those that are creating jobs, those that are creating opportunities, those that are thinking the thoughts that the average person would not think, either not might not even have the guts to think it, or might not even have the capacity to think it because of some unique background that they have and education and exposure that they've been given. But one of the great challenges that face leaders, and I think that's why it's so important that you're here today, is because leaders very often are caring for others, and they bear the burdens that not everybody carries. But things can implode even in the life of a leader. And so if we were to say a healthy leader, healthy organization, healthy business, healthy church, an unhealthy leader could lend itself towards very much the same, a cause and effect reaction, unhealthy church, unhealthy organization, unhealthy business, and so on and so forth. Craig, when we come back from our break, I'd like for you to talk with us about some drawbacks that you have found in leaders who don't take care of themselves. What can happen? And what are some benefits of leaders taking good care of themselves? Maybe somebody just needs to be reminded that it's okay to take good care of yourself as a leader. Craig will also share with us about some red flags, how you can know a leader is in danger. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're listening today and you're like, whoa, I needed to hear this. I want to hear more about this guy, Craig Chong. Maybe he can help me. Well, you can find out more about Craig at www.freshleadership.com. That's freshleadership.com. We're here with Craig Chong, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. We're talking about the healthy leadership. Stay with us, we'll be right back. Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
We're talking about compounding interest, compounding value of leadership over the course of time and how it can grow and grow and grow. And some influential people have helped shape large organizations, and some of their best work is done in their 80s. You know, so I'm thinking, gosh, we've got some time here. The encouraging thing is, by the grace of God, we can have a long ways to go, and we're just getting started. So it gives us hope, you know, and there's hope for you too, whatever it is you're going through right now in your life. As you join us back here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, I'm here with Martin Arinaga and our featured guest today, Craig Chong. Craig is the president and owner of Fresh Leadership LLC, and we're talking about the impact and importance of healthy leadership. If you're joining us right now and you're thinking, gosh, I only caught this part of the show, I want to hear the rest, I want to hear the beginning part, I want to get to know a little bit more about Craig. Well, you know, he's had an influence even in the life of Wayne Cordero, and not only has he benefited from the ministry of Wayne, but the Lord has used him strategically in the life of Pastor Wayne Cordero in some key times that, of course, his influence has been immense in these islands and beyond. But Craig has been used by the Lord in some very significant ways and is continuing to do so. You can find out more about our show and hear the rest of the show and access the rest of the show and even some other resources by going to thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org.
You know, Craig, as I'm sitting here listening to your story, I'm hearing somebody who has a blend of a personal faith and professional abilities and a mission, if you want to call it. But it's melded together very nicely, so the two work together. But I'm a little curious, what was there first? Was it, Craig, the person and the faith, and then the ministry was given to you, or was it you were in the job and then you had an infusion of the faith? Which way was it, and how do you manage to get the two working so nicely together?
Well, it never seemed like I'd ever figure out what my calling was. You know, your show is really about helping people find their purpose. My terms would be purpose, calling, what you're supposed to be doing in life, and that was always a struggle. think I was known as a person as a jack of all trades, but master of none. So I never really had a focus. Even when I decided to go to graduate school and study leadership, I thought, well, it's just even more unfocused. You know, it's just this broad term. And I think it's really this thing of, you know, at some point, you know, I had a faith, and actually my faith was very vibrant. And I found a lot of my friends and colleagues, especially in my 20s, finding their niche, their calling. I mean, my mm-hmm. background is actually in school. I studied agribusiness out of all things. And now I'm working with people. I guess I found that, you know, sheep and goats and trees don't talk back. So I needed some interaction. and it's just shepherding in a different way now, you know, shepherding people and working with them. But it's really something that's had to emerge. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm going to, when I worked for Wayne, I thought, you know, maybe I'm going to be, of course, you got this great model as a leader and you want to follow him. And you think, wow, he's the perfect thing. And there's a lot of things that I learned from him. And for me in my practice, I owe a great deal to Wayne because of the leader that he modeled and was. And I learned a lot from him. And that set up a lot of things that I do in my practice today. So, you know, I never ultimately stayed working full-time in a church as a pastor, but I still feel like I have a pastoral calling as a consultant and a coach. But it is a struggle, you know, and I think the part for me in talking about this topic of renewal, how do you find renewal is, you know, my classic example is after 4 years of working with Wayne about, you know, it basically the church boomed. It was probably the fastest growth that we've had, and we set some national records. And but we were tired. We were working, you know, 70 hours, 80 hours a week. I started there when I was 22, and it felt like I'd been there for 15, 20 years by the time I was done. And I had done just about all I could do with my life there and extending that. And it was a great ride. One of my friends, we got together. We were back pioneering the church back in the day. He says, would you trade that? And I said, you know, I wouldn't trade that experience for the world. I mean, we worked so hard, experienced so much. But, you know, it was a tremendous opportunity. But what it led me to was this wonderful season led to a place of burnout. And actually, the hard part was I felt like, well, I'm not supposed to burn out. I really didn't have that category within my who I was and what that really looked like. But all I knew was I couldn't do anything anymore, and it felt like it was Groundhog Day over and over.
But isn't that common for many leaders, even of the church or even outside, where you're starting a job, you get pretty excited, you get to be competent, you get to be good, you start leading.
Very successful.
Then you hit this plateau or the wall, whatever term you want to use, and they're finding themselves stuck.
Yeah. And all of us.
How do you know?
Yeah. All of a sudden you've got, like for me, I had literally dozens and dozens of volunteers and people that were following my lead. And then I didn't have anything left in me. And I probably could have foreseen that if I had some of the categories to understand what does it mean to experience renewal. And the fact of the matter is, after being a part of doing a lot of research, it happens for everybody. You know, you start as something and then you hit this plateau. And then we call it, the first phase is we call it going for it. So you're going for it. You're excited about life. You know, what you're doing is you're plan doing acting and you're just executing and life is just humming along. And it may be internal, it may be external factors that changed. And what changed actually at the church was we had grown to a certain capacity. It moved from entrepreneurship, which I was very excited about in startup, to more managing and just a grind of managing, which, you know, for entrepreneurs, not every entrepreneur, just because you can start something up, means that you can maintain it. You know, you take Google, for example. You know, Eric Schmidt, the designer, the mastermind of that, you know, he's not the CEO. It takes a different kind of skill set to take it to the next level. And but the hard part is sometimes what you built is your entire identity within the work that you're doing, so you can't let it go. And we call that space a doldrum. So if you can imagine a clock from 9 to 12 is really what we call going for it, phase one. Phase two is at the top at 12 o'clock, it plateaus, and then from 12 to 3, it's what we call the doldrums. And the picture that we use is you feel like you're in a box, you feel trapped, you can feel resentful, you can feel angry. And actually, towards the end of when I was at New Hope, that's exactly how I was feeling. And I had designed a lot of the structures and systems that I put myself into that box. But I realized I couldn't fit anymore. So two things that occur. One is, as leaders, what we want to do is we want to self-preserve. So, you know, I started running Levites, and then I started doing first impressions. I started doing video. So what you try and do is laterally move to another role. And you try and stay within that phase one, because that's, in a sense, the good life of what we imagine. But, you know, when you hit the doldrums and you have pain, you do these mini transitions, and all of a sudden you can't, within an organization or within a sector or a field, you can't do it anymore. Mm. And that's where you have to take a wholesale look and go, hey, am I actually going to take a step back and move into what we call phase three, which is from 3 to 6 o'clock, and we call that cocooning, where you actually take an internal inventory. A lot of what on the exterior ceases, and there's a lot of internal review, a lot of thinking through. And for me, that period was actually having to leave the church. I had other offers, but even those didn't excite me. But what really excited me was just being able to study, find some time for myself to think, and reconstruct. And when we talk about cocooning, we're talking about, you know, like the hungry caterpillar going. So it's munching, bunching, and that's phase one. And at about 12 o'clock, it starts getting fat. And, you know, it can do only so much eating before it has to actually cocoon. And that point at 3 o'clock where you jump off is what we call a little death, where you have to jump out in faith and go, hey, I'm going to let everything on the exterior cease. I'm going to get into this cocoon. And it's going to seem like there's not a whole lot happening on the outside, but there's things happening on the inside. So things are going at a million miles a minute on the inside. And in that process, sometimes you feel like you don't know which way is up. And for me, the safety of being in a seminary environment that was nurturing, I had some good mentors, some good leaders, some good therapists. You know, I dove into issues of who am I? What is my calling? Who am I called to do? Worked on some of the really tough stuff of family issues, family of origin issues, and who am I versus who am I in light of the factors that have happened to me in life. So then you begin to own all of your stuff. And it's this interesting thing that sometimes when you're in there, you feel like, wow, you're going so deep into the hole. Am I ever going to get out? And the hard part about being in cocooning is you feel lonely. You feel like, I'll never know what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, so you jump off the cliff of, like, for me, being at the center of New Hope, being a major piece of that, to all of a sudden nothing, and pretty soon you're depressed, and you don't know whether you have any self-worth or anything. And it's this bigger thing of, well, who really are you apart from, say, the work that you do, or what you can produce? And it really begs the question of, you know, your purpose, your calling, your competencies, and your values. And I had to go through this sorting process of, because as part of the shaping of the church with many other leaders that put their heart and soul into it, what is the corporate value versus what is my value? And to a certain extent, you divorce yourself from the external organization, but then you're like walking around without arms. And for me, in that process, I found that a lot of what I placed into the organization was still me, but yet the organization. So just because I left the organization didn't mean that I left myself. Mm. Mm.
So this idea of cocooning, if I'm hearing you, is a good leader is first competent at whatever that they're doing. So they're a doer.
Yep.
And then that's exciting. And then you talk about it growing to an area where maybe the job changes or the needs change.
Yep. Like, environment.
Anybody who's confident, will, they have two choices, I guess. They can either change their job, like maybe a little bit of what you did, or they could say to themselves, I'm just going to get better at what I do. But this plateau area, before you go into cocooning, I can see it going two ways. You can either figure this out, take a step back like you were able to do through mentors and assistants, or just keep doing what you're doing, and that's more like a burnout. You know, like you mentioned a few things, red flags. First, there's this feeling that, oh, I'm, you know, I can't do this another X number of years. I mean, that's obvious. But what other red flags can maybe friends watch for in a leader, or a leader can really take a look at, assess themselves and say, I'm in this zone. This
I mean, it's really
dangerous, you know, zone.
One of Wayne's titles was Dead Leader Running before his book came out, which is, I can't remember the name of the title of his book that came out, but it was Leading on Empty. But before that, the talk was Dead Leader Running. And that's literally what will happen, is that you'll be doing all the stuff, you'll do all the stuff, but your heart won't be in it. And people will hear that. The closest people to you will hear that. So you'll hear anger, you'll hear frustration, you'll feel, and when they're in that place, part of it is helping them recognize that they need to make a change. So the big thing, when you see these red flags of anger, you know, restlessness or boredom, it's really you've hit a plateau. And you can either what we call mini transition, so you extend your life cycle in that phase, or every 10, what we found is research says that about every 10 years you have to go into a major renewal process.
So go back into the cocoon?
Yeah. And every leader on average will go through it about 3 times.
In their career?
In your life cycle. You know, so oftentimes it happens that, you know, the 20, actually like the 30 something, there's a midlife, and there's actually, you know, when people retire. So have you ever seen people along some of those, you know, the quarter life crisis, you know, the midlife crisis, or kind of the last, you know, the 60 something area, that's really where that happens a lot. So we actually interact with leaders, not necessarily around those ages, but they're experiencing those kinds of
somebody things. Right now, Craig, is saying, as you're saying it, someone is saying to themselves, oh, that anger, that frustration, that detachment, my heart's not in it. I want to go into the cocoon, you know. There's a kind of a feeling of relief.
I know what my cocoon is, a red Mazda Miata they can hit. They call it midlife crisis, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Craig just
but
was
not,
one of
see,
them,
it's
right?
not it's not external. It's an internal thing. So in the world, most people will go through this external thing. So they cut their hair, they change their looks, they get divorced, and so forth. But really, for I think the Christian leader, it's really taking an internal inventory and really finding out what really do you value, what's important.
Maybe today there it's a moment of assessment of some kind. You know, it may not be at a crisis moment, but you may sense it, deep within, like Craig is talking about, it's not so much of an external thing, but it's an internal thing. And maybe the Lord is you know, raising some red flags in you. It's just beginning to wave them slowly, but you know in your own heart. And sometimes, isn't it so, Craig, it's not stuff that other people are going to tell us. It's things that we need to do a self-assessment about. And just really be honest, you know, within ourselves. Well, when we come back from our break, we'll delve in more about some of the, you know, we talk about red flags. But, you know, let's talk about a picture of someone, a leader that isn't taking care of themselves. Let's go further beyond that, Craig. You can describe what that could look like. And then on the other, flip side of it, a leader that does take care of themselves. Maybe even as you're sharing it, someone is just hearing, huh? What? Me? You mean I can take care of myself? It's okay? Sometimes we get so caught up in the run and the rigor of doing what we need to do, we forget the most important thing. You gotta take care of yourself. So much of it goes back to that. That's why we have Craig Chong, Fresh Leadership LLC, freshleadership.com. You can find out more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinenna Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests. Sometimes
guest.
A healthy leader can certainly lead to a healthier organization, business, church. But man, you could come to a place where you're sort of alone, because especially at the beginning when things are going well, you know, and you don't have input from others, or you're not able to do these certain assessments and be able to see where am I at over a long period of time, you find out that things become toxic. Mm-hmm. And a leader can become toxic and they can self-destruct. But not only that, it doesn't just do away with the situation. It could leave a whole boatload of damage of the lives of people around. And, you know, the building of 10, 20, 30, 40 years can, impact people in a negative way, in a profoundly negative way, if this is not taken care of. That's why Craig Chong is very timely in his appearance and his coming in studio with us today. Craig is the owner and president of Fresh Leadership LLC. You can find out more about him, more about his business, his consultation, his strategies, how to access his products and sources and his consultancy. You can do that at www.freshleadership.com. I'm joined with my co-host, Martin Arinaga. You're joining the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and you can hear... might be thinking, hey, I want to hear more of this. How can I get more? The whole thing. I want to hear what was said before, but I'm just tuning in right now. Well, do not despair. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can hear the program in its entirety. We even have other things for you to look at that could be beneficial to you as well. Well, Craig Chong is here, brought to you by Burt's Union Service and Chinenna Narinaga Financial Group, as well as Dr. Calvin Oishi, the orthopedic surgeon. It's support of people and companies like theirs that enable Craig Chong to be with us today. Craig, tell us about what does it look like? What are the drawbacks of a leader not taking care of himself or herself?
Well, I think it's precisely what you said. You know, the impact, especially for a leader. Leader, in the shortest definition, is they have followers. So there's collateral impact. And when leaders don't self-reflect and think about the next level, they often leave people dazed and confused on where they're going to be going. And that concept of so goes the leader, so goes the organization. Mm-hmm. So it's, especially for leaders, it's really important that they are able to self-assess. And as well as be open to input. I think the thing that I look for the most is, does the particular leader have a teachable heart?
Mm.
So especially somebody like me, people always view me as wanting work for them or, you know, as a consultant. But I find that the leaders that are open to looking deeper or even starting a conversation are self-aware that they can't do it by themselves. And oftentimes there's some pain going on and they want to talk about it. But the leaders that I find that usually go down the wrong track often are arrogant and think that they can do it on their own or they know a better way. And the work that we've done is, you know, based out of a lot of 30, 40 years of grounded research is where we take our studies from. And like clockwork, some of this stuff happens, whether they like it or not. So you may be very, very successful in one season, but what got you here oftentimes doesn't get you to the next season, mm-hmm. and it's a different level. And I mean, from a personal standpoint, I've discovered that myself, and it takes a lot of hard work to mm-hmm. really get to the core of things.
You know, a lot of making change is realizing you need to change. So you talk about leaders who would self-reflect, you know, as they grab the mirror and put it in front of them. But some people need to have friends or partners
sure.
that would take a mirror and stick it in front of them. Can mm-hmm. you talk a little bit about the value maybe of a mentor or even accountability partners?
Yeah.
Because I think you talk about arrogant, maybe arrogant people don't need others.
Yeah.
At but least they don't need
yeah. So I just want to maybe bring that to light and just talk about the value and how does that work? How does it support somebody who's really wanting to make a change?
Yeah. I had the privilege of learning under Bobby Clinton. He wrote a whole book on mentoring. If any of you are interested, it's called Connecting by NAV Press with Dr. J. Robert Clinton and Paul Stanley. And within that, it's really, as Bobby's taught me, all of us really build on the shoulders of others. So, you know, in reflecting on some of the people that I've built on the shoulders of, I get to do what I do today. I'd never be able to do it without them. And I'm forever grateful. You know, my dad, my mom, mm-hmm. you know, Wayne Cadero, teachers in my life, people that spent time with me. But Tom Patterson. But the reality is you need different kinds of mentors for different kinds of seasons. So within the Clinton model, he calls it a constellation model. So you need upward mentoring. So when you're younger, you need more people above you pouring into you. You need peer mentoring, and they're both internal and external. So you need people that are close to you that know your work, and you also need safe people that don't really know your work too well. And the older you get, the more you're an upward mentor. So you need a downward mentor. Mm-hmm. So one of the best ways to learn is to be teaching others. And, you know, when you talk about finishing well, you know, living into your 80s, what do people at that point do? They bless and they encourage and they pour into people, you know. So there's different places for different times in your life, as well as different functions. So people think mentoring's, well, one size fits all, and I'm going to find the guru mentor. But I would submit to you that there's 9 different types. There's very active types. So in the Christian world, you have primarily what we call discipleship. So you're working on, you know, stuff of your faith and understanding that. Spiritual guidance is another form of mentoring that we've identified. And that really has to do with, hey, what's going on in your heart? So do the heart things match the outward actions? And then the third thing is really counselor. So those are people that you occasionally go to. And you're able to ask questions, and they're actually able to give you counsel. So that might be a pastor, or a therapist, or a specialist. You know, there's more, it's not quite passive, but they're not as frequent. So you would have a teacher mentor. So when I went back to school, I sought out teacher mentors, people that are going to just download information, you know, but it's not necessarily as direct. It's, you know, in a classroom environment or a mentoring group. You have what we call the sponsor, and the sponsor is somebody, in this season of my life, you know, there's a lot of sponsors that open up doors to, you know, areas that I couldn't, you know, mm-hmm. in a sense, mm-hmm. Danny, you're performing a mentoring function, a sponsoring me into your world of people that may not have heard of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opening people that open doors and introduce you. Primary sponsor was like Barnabas taking Paul to the Council of Jerusalem and going, hey, this guy's not going to kill you.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance. You know,
I vouch for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't have done that by himself.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then a coach would be somebody that's going to help you work on some of the tactical things of skills of ministry or your work. So it's, you know, in your financial planning business, you might coach somebody on, well, how do you do a sale? Or in ministry, you might coach somebody on how to do a sermon, you know. And then there's what we call passive models. So you have what we call a contemporary model. So you might pick up a book and you get inspired by this person. Mm-hmm. You know, you read about, you know, the guy with no limbs and wow, he becomes, you learn something from the book. Or you might have a historical model. Every time you pick up the Bible, you spend time studying about a historical character. Those are models that tried and true. I was just in a leadership discussion last night and they talked about leadership, but they started talking about the great leaders of Hawaii and the United States and throughout time, you know, talked about Abe Lincoln, but you can get stuff from their biographies. And the reason why they're safe is that, you know what, their lives are a closed book already. So you can postmortem, you can talk about all the things that are good mm-hmm. and bad. Contemporary models, we have a lot of them. So your pastors or business leaders, great, but we don't know how they're going to finish well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we can go down the, you know, think they're going there, but you got to contrast it with that.
One of the things that I just love about sitting next to Craig and just listening to him is that he brings order to chaotic lives. You know, we are so pressured. Life moves so fast. I mean, the moment you get your iPhone 4, they come out with iPhone 4S. And if you just wait a little bit longer, mm-hmm. iPhone 5 or some other thing that has a similar name of sorts. And the other ones that we have will go down in value. But, I mean, just things are moving so quickly. Craig is very organized. And he gives us, it's almost like you have a gift of giving peace, too, because, things can be put in a place that can be brought, we can receive understanding. Craig Chong, you've got a plethora of information. I've studied under the best, some of the most influential leaders that have influenced the leaders of today. And you're here with us in studio. What a blessing it is indeed. When we come back from our break, I'd like for you to share with us how should a leader take care of himself, herself? Let's just get real practical. Give someone something to grab hold on today. And you know what? You might not be thinking, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a CEO. But you know what? Everyone has a certain level of leadership that you have to exercise in life. And so I don't want you to exclude yourself from this. It can go from what seems to be even minimal leadership to magna leadership. Well, Craig can give us some examples, and I think it'll relate with you and be very helpful, very practical, something that I think we all can make use of today. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from our guest today, Craig Chong.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Craig Chong, and my co-host, Martin Arinaga. He is in the zone. He is in his sweet spot. Craig Chong speaking about leadership, leadership health. He's the founder and president of Fresh Leadership LLC. And you can access more about Craig and find out more about his products, his services at www.freshleadership.com. Craig, you know, give us some positive examples of healthy leadership.
Okay, so healthy leadership. There's, I think, you know, it's simple. You see it in their life. Obviously, when you're in phase one of going for it, you're going to see people vibrant, and you're not going to, and they're going to just be going for it, and they're having fun with life. It's more really when people hit these doldrums that they really do need help. And I think just an example is I was working with a guy that he was actually, you know, doing really well at his job, performing, and he actually went on a trip. And because he was actually harboring, actually taking home a lot of the stress that he was doing at work, you know, he couldn't feel the pain over time. And actually, he was so stressed, he had a heart attack at 40. So started working with him, helping him kind of put back the puzzles together. And sometimes it's not just circumstances, but sometimes your health goals. And a lot of times with strong leaders, the big thing is they're so strong, they overcome and they have such thick skin that they can't feel it. And that's why they, you know, they all these warning signals or these red lights, they don't see them. I mean, they're right in their face, but they can't see them because their life is filled with that, and there's so much chaos in the world. They just move through it. But this one guy that I worked with, now he's back on track. He's managing his health, you know, taking care of what he eats, understanding how he's wired, doing stuff to refresh himself, and doing well, you know. And he's there for his kids. therefore the work that he does so wonderfully in the community.
Now, refreshing himself,
yep.
What would that be?
Refreshing himself is really understanding, hey, what are you passionate about? And oftentimes what I work with people in understanding is we have like 10 major categories that people are passionate about. It's either helping people, they're passionate about working with numbers, they're passionate about organizing things, they're passionate about music, they're passionate about art. But it's tapping into, or it's mechanics, outdoor stuff. But it's just going, what am I passionate about? And making sure that you're doing those kinds of things.
So if somebody says, I just feel renewed when I go on these long hikes.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say, go hiking.
Yeah, right? And actually they probably have an outdoor score. Mm-hmm. So when I assess people, I use different kinds of assessments. People that have high outdoor scores, a lot of times what happens is they get stuck in an office. So they're in there 24/7 or all the time. I had this client, that was her favorite thing to do. I kept pushing her on it for literally 3 months. She finally went hiking. She said, you know what? I feel like I've walked with God.
Wow.
She texted me that afternoon. She said, I went on my hike. It's so amazing.
Well, you know what I can hear you saying? It's like a resounding word from Craig Chung saying, go do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You need it. Go do it. Take care of yourself, dear leader.
Yep.
You are too important. And not only that, not just now, it's too important for you to go the long haul.
Yep. And it's a thing of giving permission to yourself to do that, to care for self. A lot of times we think that the self is, and this is getting to the heart of what we've been talking about, is really giving yourself permission to take care of the self. Because often leaders are caring for families, they're caring for parishioners, they're caring for a company, they're caring for everybody else but themselves. So they're focused outward, but they never replenish themselves. All of a sudden, there's no gas in the tank, and the car breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
You keep doing that, you're going to destroy your fuel pump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what happens when people break down on a physical level.
Craig, it's liberating to hear what you're saying. And people need to hear it. We need to hear it. And our dear listeners need to hear it. For someone in the red zone right now, you've given the word. The word has gone out. Hey, take care. Take care of yourself. And maybe if you're in the red zone, you need to take care and do some drastic things. Well, one of the things that you can do, you can contact my friend here, Craig Chung. Freshleadership.com. You might know somebody who's in a rough spot right now. You go ahead and have them contact Craig Chung at freshleadership.com. It's been a blessing to be here with you. Here's a scripture for today, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's a word for you, a word of hope for you today. You can find out more about our show. Get the whole show. Get this as a link. Send it to somebody at thegoodlifehawaii.org. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Craig Chung. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Martin Arinaga, and my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.